The United Kingdom, you can see a country is using bees to kind of help build their own transportation system, let alone right there. That's interesting. That's how smart these little insects are. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Green Team Podcast. I'm your host, Bryson Akins, and today we're going to do a deep dive into why bees are so important to our environment and why you need to do everything you can to protect and save the bees so we can save our one and only planet Earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Green Team Podcast, brought to you by BetterHelp. Today, we're looking at bees. Busy guys. You know, I'm a busy bee myself. I consider myself that name beginning with B. Might as well. I'm a busy bee. Should be. And so we're going to talk about them a little bit because they are important. I feel like people don't actually recognize how important these small creatures are. And I feel like they're misrepresented when people talk about them, talk about how they're actually harmful. And for some people, they can be if they do have a bee allergy. But to majority of the population, bees are fine. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to hurt me. As a beekeeper all my life, bees are not out there to actively hurt and sting you. In fact, they're trying to stay away from stinging you because they know if they sting a human, it means death for them. It pulls out their stinger and that's one of their main ways of survival, and then they die. All right, so they're not actively trying to sting you. I feel like they're misrepresented. But they are one of the most important creatures on this planet, if not the most important. And I have some facts for you that are going to be breaking down, going into talking about why they're so important. And the first one that I want to bring up is the pollination aspect that bees bring. Yes, there are other pollinators out there. The wind is considered a pollinator as they spread seeds. The wind spreads seeds from plants all over the soil. But yet bees are one of the main pollinators out there that, you know, pollinate almost every plant out there. All right, fun fact for you, almost 90% of wild plants and 75% of leading global crops depend on animal pollination. One out of every three mouthfuls of our food depends on pollinators such as bees. Crops that depend on pollination are five times more valuable than those that do not. Some examples of these are like apples, bananas, fruit that grow on trees and bushes, blackberries, strawberries. A bunch of these plants, they rely on bees as pollinators. There are a bunch of these plants that would not exist without bees, which would cause a whole ecosystem to just collapse. Please keep that in mind when you're trying to swat away the next bee and you're eating the next, you know, fruit or even vegetable out there that you could be eating, as a bee probably pollinated it. More than likely, the only reason you can have that food is because of a bee pollinating that food source right there. And they are a great pollinator. And it's a common misconception as well that it's the stinger that draws out the pollination and the honey. That's not the case. It's the legs. The legs actually go down there and it collects all the pollen on it. And then they bring it back to the hive and then they convert it into honey. All right. Some other great pollination, plants out there as well, flowers, okay, and lavender. Lavender is a great source of pollination because of the color, and it does have a good amount of pollen in it as well. It's one of the best plants out there that you could have in your garden. Growing up, being a beekeeper, having my own garden and everything as well, because the bees would pollinate it, I quickly learned that having lavender mixed in with whatever fruits and vegetables I had would actually lead to more pollination for every single plant in there because they're already around it. And so going there to recognize, okay, lavender's all out of pollen right now. Let's go over to some more of these other plants that have pollen. That's simple. Lavender is a great source for that to add into your garden. So if you know you have bees around and you're trying to have better plants out there to help you out, you need bees right there. All right, the next one, okay. Social bees, such as honeybees and bumblebees, often live in hives or nests above or below the ground, while most solitary bees nest in the ground. Bees can be found in so many locations, some surprising. These include marshes, shingles, sand dunes, soft cliffs, heathlands, wetlands, chalk, grasslands, quarries, gravel pits, seawalls, and even post-industrial land. They can find any place and any way to live. Now, there are some that live in the ground, and some of those are the more likely ones to sting you, so please keep that in mind. But majority of them are going to live in, not your typical hive. you imagine, you know, it's one of those stereotypes as well that surrounds bees, that they live in these giant hives that you see hanging from trees. That's not always the case, all right? Some of them are kind of hidden, like mentioned with the shingles, all right? Sometimes bees find their ways into your roof. So please keep that in mind. They can find any way in any, you know, kind of place to actually live as a bee, okay? That's what, you know, you need to keep in mind. They're going to find some way to be out there and have a place to live, okay? And another interesting thing that I found there, all right, the marshes. Many people consider bees just to be in these forest areas with a bunch of plant life. Marshes are actually another place you can find bees. Think about it. It's a marshland. There's a bunch of trees already, and it's going to be a good spot for them to live. There's a bunch of water, all right, and plants grow in abundance in marshlands due to the water and sunlight that they get. So of course, bees are going to be there. You see all these different biomes, you know, they would not exist on this planet if bees weren't there pollinating them. I keep on sounding, you know, like a broken record saying this, but I just want you guys to know how important bees actually are. They are the most important creature out there. And just these two facts right here that I've given you, I think tells you how important they actually are, okay? Just like I mentioned, sand dunes as well. You might think, why would they be in sand dunes? Cacti, all right? They're a flowering plant as well. They don't just flower on their own. They need pollinators, and bees are one of those pollinators right there, okay? Next one, all right? This is something going on in the United Kingdom that I find really interesting, okay? Imagine trying to travel around Britain without our road and rail network, or imagine if 9 out of every 10 miles of road just didn't exist, life would be impossible. Bee lines are an imaginative and beautiful solution to the problem, the loss of flowers and pollinators. Bee lines are a series of insect pathways running through the countryside and towns in the United Kingdom. They link existing wildlife areas together while creating a network like a railway that will weave across the British landscape. So right there, the United Kingdom, you can see a country is using bees to kind of help build their own transportation system, let alone right there. That's interesting. That's how smart these little insects are, that they are the sole source why a country has some of its little transportation areas right there, the beeline transport system, all right? It's all thanks to bees right there in the name, beeline transport system, bees, boom. It's just interesting to see how much bees actually impact our life. Just seeing the transportation system, and if you haven't known, bees communicate and, you know, travel through dances, all right? If you see a bee in slow motion, it's not in a straight line. They're always zigzagging around. That's because while they're flying and moving somewhere, they're also communicating with one each other. They communicate through something like of dances of sorts, okay? That's how they communicate right there. And it actually tells them how far certain flowers and, you know, pollinators are away from them. So let's say there's a flower, you know, a vast area of pollen that they could collect that is less than a mile away. They do a certain dance to convey that to the rest of the hive and saying, hey, look at all of this potential pollen and honey that we have right here that we live off of, okay? This is our food source. It has so much there. We need to go over there and collect as much as possible so they communicate with one each other through these dances to get them over there so they can gather the pollen, okay? That's what they do right now. It helps out. Not only does it help out in the entire hive, it helps out one another as they can travel together and they might feel more safe because they're small creatures. They're easy to, you know, get down and, you know, get down in the dumps and bring down. But you know what's something that helps you stay out of that area? BetterHelp, the sponsor of our podcast. BetterHelp is a therapy website that you can go to help out with your mental health. If you don't like going and paying all this absurd amount of money for therapy, like I don't like to pay a ton of money for therapy. I don't like to go out there willingly out of my day and go somewhere else just to have someone help me out and, you know, with my mind, my mental state. Sometimes I want to do online on a Zoom call and for a cheap price. That's what BetterHelp does. It's a cheap way for you to go to therapy and help out with your mental state, as mental health is very important and your overall health is as well, which bees also help with that. We'll talk about later, but BetterHelp is the best place to go to right now. You can use our special discount code GREEN and TEAM, GREEN TEAM, special code right there, GREEN TEAM, to get 15% off your first month of therapy at BetterHelp. That's betterhelp.com/GREEN, GREEN, Team, T-E-A-M, BetterHelp/GreenTeam to get 15% off your first therapy session for the whole month. Now, going back to Beast a little bit, okay? I keep on mentioning how important they are. And like I just said, with the United Kingdom, how there are some sole reasons for a transportation system that they have. That's pretty incredible, all right? Now, next thing, if you find a bumblebee, which appears to be struggling, it may be that is just resting, particularly if the bee is a queen in early spring. If you think the bee is struggling, the best thing to do is gently put the bee onto a bee-friendly flower, all right? If there are no bee-friendly flowers around, mix 50-50 white sugar and water to give the bumblebee a one-off energy boost, providing the carbohydrates it needs to fly. Simply offer a drop or two of sugar water up to the front end of the bee on a teaspoon, or an upturned drinks cap into a sheltered place to allow the bee time to recuperate. It is not advisable to use brown sugar, though, as it is harder for bees to digest, and don't give bumblebees honey, as this contains pathogens. So right there, it's not necessarily, you know, all the time you see a bee and like, oh my goodness, I should get away. You should help them out. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this, save the bees when you have an opportunity, and this is the perfect opportunity to save the bees. If you see a bee that is struggling to fly, isn't flying around, and it looks a little bit, you know, sluggish, not really doing much, the best way to do so is find a flower nearby that is bee-friendly. And like I mentioned, bee-friendly flowers are these colors that they can really see vibrantly, and some that contain a ton of pollen. You would think roses would be the best flower for them. Actually, it is not. They don't contain a ton of pollen whatsoever. Like mentioned, you should try to find lavender, tulips, like flowers like that, that you would think, oh, these are smaller, they're not grand, you know, plants, but yet they are really good for the bees. Those are the bee-friendly flowers that we are talking about, okay? Then like mentioned, the white sugar and water to give bumblebee a one-off energy boost. This is an old trick I use as a beekeeper as well. When I started my first hive, I had no clue what to do because I assumed, oh, they're going to go get their pollen. When I did my research, though, I soon quickly found out that I actually needed to give them this little source of water and sugar together, boil it together real quick, boom, it all mixes together. All right, let it cool down. And then I brought it out to its little, you know, container on the side of the hive, poured it in, and all of a sudden, the hive was thriving right there. And it doesn't hurt to do that every once in a while for the bees, especially if you just want them to be alive to keep them from, you know, going extinct, because we do need the bees. We do. Like we mentioned earlier, they pollinate 90% of plant life and 75% of leading global crops. All right, they depend on the bees right there. So if you want to keep them alive and save them, this is a good way to do that. Just mix 50 sugar and 50 water. All right. But make sure it's not brown sugar, because that's actually more harmful to the bees than you will realize. It can't just be any sugar. Please make sure it's white cane sugar right there, as that's the best way to not necessarily bring a bee back to life, but to give it the energy it needs to get back to its hive and be a working member of its society right there. The next one. All right, anyone including you can help a bee out. We can do all our bit to help bees, whether that's in our gardens, balconies, or windowsills. You can also chat to friends and family about how cool bees are and help them make, you know, help them to make their wild spaces bee-friendly. Plant a range of flowers in your garden so bees have access to nectar from March to October. Bees love traditional cottage garden flowers and native wildflowers like primrose, foxglove, and marigold. So like I mentioned, all right, it's not these grand flowers like roses that you always see that are the best pollinators. They look grand. They look pretty. Yes, I won't lie to that. And bees will pollinate them, but it's not their go-to source. Like I just mentioned, the wildflowers and cottage flowers, all right? Those are the type of flowers that you want to plant right there, because it's natural them for them to get them. And also, there's just something about them that they're attracted to, and they hold a good amount of pollen. Like I mentioned with the lavender, putting that in your garden, whatever it may be, just for flowers or fruits and vegetables, it gives it a good look as well. Not only that, but it's a great pollinator. It's going to naturally have the bees go by it to pollinate those flowers. That's why you should have lavender in all your gardens, no matter what. I highly suggest it, because it is naturally going to bring bees there, okay? And like I mentioned, talk about it, all right? Talk about bees. Talk about how important they are. That's why I'm doing this episode for you guys, because they are important, and this is the best way to get rid of these nasty stereotypes that they're going out there trying to, you know, hurt you and sting you. They're not. They're peaceful creatures. There's a great book, all right, out there. What's it called? I can't remember its name. Let me see. Why can't I think of its name? But anyways, there's a book out there. Anyways, that's all about a girl trying to, you know, figure out more about her mom. And the way she did so was by beekeeping. All right. And there's a great quote from it that says, all bees want are a little bit of love. All right. It's a great quote. And that's truly, I believe that. I truly believe that quote. I think all bees want are really just, you know, love. It's a metaphorical way of saying that bees, despite their potential to sting, are primarily focused on their natural instinct to gather pollen and nectar, contributing to the ecosystem through pollination. All right. That's simple. All right. It's not, you know, one of those things where they're trying to sting you. Like, it's just a protective source. And that's not even their main way to protect. Naturally, they swarm other animals that threaten the hive. And due to the heating, it may, you know, cause harm to the other animal and drive them off from the hive. They do it to honey badgers, skunks, all right, squirrels, raccoons, all right. They also do it to wasps, which are their main predator, okay? Wasps are their main predator in their ecosystem. And how they handle wasps are not by stinging them, but by swarming it and heating it up, flapping their wings so much that the heat waves come off of them and actually put the wasp into shock. That's what they do, okay? They're not trying to sting you. So please tell the word, you know, spread the word. Tell everyone that bees are peaceful creatures. All they want is a little bit of love. That's all. If you give out hate, how can you expect love in return? You're just going to get hate back from the bees. So spread that bee love out there and help them out as much as possible by planting those wildflowers and spreading the good words that, hey, they're just trying to help a little bit. All right, that's it. Next one. This is just a little fun fact. All right, I just want to throw you guys for a loop out there. They actually have 4 wings. All right, the 2 wings each side hook together to form one larger pair when flying and then unhook when they're not flying. So this goes into like the misconception that the bee's wings are, if you remember the bee moving, it starts off with, the bee's wings are too small to be able to let it fly. Its fat little body weighs too much for the wings to actually carry it, blah, 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 blah. It's actually a myth, okay? Because it has 4 wings, it just looks like they only have 2, that pair. They actually have 2 pairs of wings, which allows them to fly. It's just a little fun fact that I thought, you know, might throw you guys for a loop that I think was interesting. You guys might want to know. All right. This goes back to the dance. Okay. All right. If you guys remember, I mentioned the dance. It's a way that they communicate. All right. And it's like, you know, the Bee Gees, you know, the old band from the 70s. Okay. You can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. That band. Okay. Honeybees have a dance called the waggle dance. It's not actually a dance move at all, rather a clever way of communicating between themselves to sell their nestmates where to go find the best source of food. It took the researchers at Sussex University's 2 years to decode the waggle dance. That's how kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Man, I can't think of a good word for it. Not confusing. I just can't think of a good word for it at all. But the waggle dance, it's a way for them to communicate. That's how they communicate, by dancing. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of funny in the same way that it just goes back to like music and dance. If you remember, there's another old movie called Footloose where the town was banned from dancing, but dancing is a great source of communication, and that's what bees are telling us right there. That's how they communicate, by dancing. It's like a zigzag pattern. It's interesting, okay? That's how they communicate, dancing, not through like buzzes or anything or any noises that they make, just by dancing. It's a really interesting thing, especially when you look at, like, you know, I go back to the bee movie because there's a lot of stereotypes that surround bees. And the bee movie, one of them is like, you like jazz?
I'm gonna say something. You like jazz?
And someone did a research study on if they actually like jazz. And there's something about the sound waves themselves that actually make them calm down a little bit. And I just think it goes hand in hand with like the you like jazz and the waggle dance right there. It goes hand in hand, showing that music goes into nature as well with the bees, okay? The next one that we have, all right? The brainy bunch. The buff-tailed bumblebee has a brain the size of a poppy seed, which is incredible given the fact scientists have managed to train them to score a goal in bee football in return for a sugary treat. Quite unbelievable, if you ask me, okay? Interesting thing right there. You might think for an insect, they're not smart at all right? Some of it is some bees, like the Carnolian bee, okay, there are multiple types of bees, by the way. You have bumblebees, wood bees, honeybees, carnolian bees, even Italian bees, okay? And surprisingly enough, Italian bees are actually one of the more aggressive forms of bees. So interesting right there, another stereotype going into that. But it goes to show that some bees are smart. In some hives, they're controlled by the queen, okay? But some bees have a mind of their own, just like this one, the buff-tailed bumblebee, all right? The size of a poppy seed, keep in mind, that's pretty large for a bee. They like they're pretty smart creatures if they're working by themselves right there. The fact that they train them to play beef football kind of like a pet, that's unbelievable in itself right there. The fact that they trained a bee to play football. Not and I, like it's not like American football, like football, like world, world sports soccer, that's pronounced here in America. But it's just interesting looking at that. It's very interesting. The next one I have, they have surprisingly smelly feet. Another fun fact I just wanted you guys to know. All right. Scientists from the University of Bristol have discovered that bumblebees have the ability to use their smelly footprints to distinguish between their own scent, the scent of a relative, and the scent of a stranger. This means they can improve their success in finding food and avoid flowers that have already been visited. So interesting right there. And that goes to show, you see the people out there that beekeep, and I was one of those guys as well, and I still am. I don't wear my suit when I go out there to beekeep anymore. If I do, it's just my headpiece, okay? And you see a lot of people doing that as well. There's the Mr. and Mrs. Bee Rescue people down in Texas. They don't wear a suit at all when they go to save these beehives in some strange places because they're not trying to hurt you, A. And sometimes, especially when it's your own hives, they recognize you based off the scent, all right? Just by the scent that you're putting off right there. It goes back to the natural instinct of animals and everything. They used to be able to tell each other just by their scent. Bees do the same thing. That's why you notice those people that don't wear their suits when they go out there to collect honey or take care of the bees, is because they know they're not going to hurt them because they recognize their scent right there. Okay? That's just an interesting fact I wanted to tell you there, right there, as it just goes to show they're not always trying to hurt you. They're actually pretty, sophisticated and smart creatures. All right? And the final one, a dinner for queens, is the queen bee dies in a honeybee hive. The workers can create a new queen bee. They do this by selecting a young larva and by feeding it special food called royal jelly. The larva will develop into a fertile queen. So that just to show you, I think this is something everyone kind of knew. If not, there you go. You learned another cool fact about bees today. But the hive can only survive with a queen bee. And it's interesting when you look at the life cycles of bees. There are three kinds of bees in a hive, okay? You have the worker bee, which, fun fact, all worker bees are female. They are the female bees of the hive. They're the only ones that can collect pollen and have stingers right there. And they look like your typical bee that you always see, in books and throughout history and any adaptation that you see of bees. Another stereotype right there that the bee movie puts out and represents is that Barry B. Benson, okay, three bees, bee, Barry B, all right, it's a male bee. And it shows him collecting pollen and everything. And then the pollen collecting crew is all guys. It's like some Air Force kind of task squad. That's not the case. The collectors of the pollen and the bees, they are all female. The females are the ones that keep the hive going right there. Okay? It's all female bees doing all the work. Then you have drone bees that look like little barrels. Okay? Those are males. They don't have stinger. They can't collect pollen. They really can't do anything. The only thing that they're good for is reproduction. All right? They're there just to serve the queen bee for reproduction, and they actually die afterwards. They only have a lifespan of 4 to 6 weeks. Worker bees have a lifespan of 6 to 8 weeks. Then finally, the queen bee is the one that keeps the hive going together. It's the only reason hives survive right there. If the queen dies, like I mentioned, they can feed royal jelly to a larva to make a queen bee. But a queen bee can live for 2 to 10 years on average. Insane lifespan just for an insect right there. It's interesting. It is very interesting just to see all the inner workings of how hives work and how important they actually are. And just going back to that first stat that I stated there, the pollination aspect, all right? 90% of wild plants and 75% of leading global crops depend on an animal pollination. And majority of them are just bees, okay? A lot of these plants would not exist without bees. Like apples, for example, you could pretty much kiss apples goodbye if bees went extinct. That's how important they are. That's how important these bees, these little creatures are. And I hope that you guys kind of learned that today with this, little informative, session for you guys right there talking about bees, because I am passionate about it. It's what got me into starting this podcast right here, because A, I want to tell everyone about bees, and B, tell everyone, different ways that you could protect the environment and help out, and that you could learn and do yourself. Bees are one of those, perfect examples of that right there. Figured that'd be a perfect way to start this episode since I'm the most knowledgeable on that. So I hope you guys learned something from this, as always, okay? Keep doing this on a weekly basis over here. Next week, probably going to go into greenhouse gases. That might be an interesting topic to cover right there. Probably what we have planned. But like I mentioned with these bees, super important. Please, please, please save and take care of the bees, as without them, humans might not even exist due to how much they pollinate. I know that's a bold claim, but some scientists have even backed that up, okay? It's just interesting, you know, looking at that right there. All right, it's just, you should love bees, and you should definitely take care of them, all right, right there. Like, they're the foundation of our food supply. More than one-third of the planet's foods relies on bees right there. And like mentioned, apples, avocados, blueberries, broccoli, coconuts, cucumbers, and carrots, all right? Only visited by bees, okay? So if bees went extinct, those are food items that you can kiss goodbye. Honey, of course. And honey has a lot of medicinal properties that we didn't even get into. All right. They're good for allergies, good for heart health as well. Good source of sugar if you're trying to, you know, find natural sugar right there. Okay. It's like, it's just interesting right there. Okay. They just do a lot that we don't realize as people. We think they're harmful creatures when they're not. They're not trying to harm us at all. It's just a stereotype that, you know, it's just misrepresented, all right, in the media. Truly, they are. And so I hope you guys learned something right there. As always, please do everything that you can to protect the environment and protect yourself by using BetterHelp. You can use the code GREENTEAM, GREENTEAM, Green Team, Green, GREEN, Team, TEAM, Green Team, over at BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/GREENTEAM right there to get 15% off your first month of therapy over there. Always take care of yourself, helping yourself out there, and always helping the bees, like always, save the bees. That's all we got for this episode. And this time, we'll see you guys in the next one.